Welcome, welcome. This week we are human. That's what we are. We are so human. So welcome if you're just joining me for the first time. I am so glad to have you. If this is a repeat and you've been with me for weeks, I am even more glad to have you. So thank you so much for joining us. I want to tell you I value your time. I value the fact that you are here. And this week, we are going deep into something that affects almost every area of your life, not just yours, but mine too, self-trust. Why don't you trust yourself? You knew and didn't listen. You felt something and you overrode it. I am Jennifer Elizabeth Masters, transformational teacher, trauma recovery guide, and author of Unbecoming. And this isn't just talk. It is the felt sense in your body. You're in the right place if you've ever walked away from a conversation, a friendship, a relationship, feeling unsettled, irritated, or even angry, and you didn't fully understand why. And deeper than that, you questioned yourself. You thought, maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm too sensitive. And somewhere along the path, patterns like that, you got lost and you lost yourself. And that's where we begin. It is discovering you, who you are. And I am going to be going back to Toronto in this episode. I did not finish last week. And this is part of the, it's part of the ending, you know, the ending. My mother turned 104, July the 10th. I know, mind blowing, isn't it? And still walking around, not a vegetable. My mother, 104. So this is where we're winding back into. And I think you're going to find a lot of joy here. So the best part about my Toronto trip, I didn't get to tell you. So I got all of my mother's clothes. I didn't get her mink coat, but better than her mink coat was a huge wardrobe of beautiful clothes. Now, why is that important? Well, because I do speaking engagements, I do live events, and my mother had the wardrobe to die for. She dressed like Jacqueline Kennedy. Who knows who else she dressed like, but she didn't go anywhere except maybe church every once in a while to show off her latest outfit. So I was given on my last visit to my mother, this rattled me deeply because she didn't want to be giving up her things. And on that last visit, she kept saying, Jennifer, if you see something, take it. If you see something, take it. These were words that were foreign to me, where all my life, if she saw something, she wanted it. So here I am getting to the airport. Well, I got dressed actually at my brother's house in the dark, and I'm wearing my mother's slacks that fit me like a glove and her lovely purple top and her white leather jacket. I mean, I'm looking sharp. I feel confident. I feel like I finally got it right. And I check in at the airport. I check my bags. I go to security. I even had to run back to the rental car place because I dropped my wallet in the car. I had to go back there. And then I'm going through security and I'm told I'm going to get an extra check. What's wrong with this guy? What do they see? So I finally get through security and then I'm sitting in the lounge in U.S. Customs because they're giving me extra special attention. And so I finally, I'm sitting there. I get called, about to get called up actually. And I'm feeling really good. And I look down at my legs, at my lap. And I go, oh, holy cow. And I take a picture of my pants to send to my friend Becky Jones in Louisiana. I text her, guess what, Becky? My pants are on inside out. And I have not only gone through the airport, dropped off my rental car, dropped off my bags. I think I look hot. Meanwhile, my pants are inside out. When I told somebody this story recently, they said, could you tell? Yes, you could tell. The seams were inside out. And so when I called my friend Becky to tell her, I swear she just about choked herself laughing so hard. She laughed for 10 minutes. I couldn't get a word in edgewise while she laughed and laughed and laughed. And so, no wonder I couldn't put anything in my pockets. When I went down in the kitchen at my brother's house to leave, I looked down at my pants. I said, why is this tag sticking out? It should be on the inside. Didn't even dawn on me. Cut the tag off and just kept rolling. So, I just want you to know that we are human here. We're fully human. And if you can't laugh at yourself, you are taking life way too seriously. So, anyway, there I was, inside out. And speaking of inside out, it's beyond. It's beyond the fact that it's funny. So, how many of us are walking around every day inside out and nobody tells us? Maybe not our pants, our patterns, the people pleasing, the overgiving, the over-functioning, the saying yes when your body is screaming, no, stop. Nobody pulls you over at security and says, hey, you might want to check that. You just keep walking around the world thinking you're fine while you're completely turned around. And here's what I've learned. The outside of your life can look completely fine on Instagram and Facebook, wherever you're exposing yourself. The job, the relationship, the smile, while the inside is backwards. And you're the last one to know because you spent so long performing that I'm fine, that you've lost the ability to check. So how do you check? Well, I have to add, this is a real check-in, not just a check. It's a real check-in. You have to build the habit, not out of criticism. And if we were criticized as children, we're going to continue to beat ourselves up in our subconscious mind and our conscious mind. How do I know? Because I did it for decades. So we're not criticizing ourselves, but out of love, the way you gently tell a friend, your tag is showing, ask yourself regularly, not just in crisis, is this actually me? Or am I performing? Am I being authentic, authentically me? Or am I just trying to keep everyone else comfortable? Do you focus on making everyone else happy? And meanwhile, you're the one that's miserable, exhausted, over-functioning, and overgiving? So tonight's gift to yourself, before bed, before you shut out those lights and hit your head on the pillow, ask yourself that question. And write down the first answer that comes without editing. Am I really showing up authentically as me? So, speaking of my mother, speaking of editing, I used to edit myself constantly when speaking to my mother. Constantly edited what I would normally say to other people, I could not say to my mother. And recently, I've been editing her videos. I did several interviews with her when she turned 100, when she turned 102, when she turned 101. Well, 101 comes before 102. But each year from 100 on, I've done interviews with her. And this year was no exception. So I was listening to these interviews over and over again while I was editing. And somewhere in the listening again and again, I actually heard her. I mean, I heard her in my body. I felt what she was saying. I felt what she was telling me. She told me how much she loved me, that I'm intuitive, that I'm kinder than the rest of my siblings, that I'm more accepting. It's taken almost 72 years, and I had to hear it almost 30 times before it sunk in, because that's not the voice that I've heard of my mother. It was always, "You're too fat. Your hair's too long. Are you going to do something with your hair? Honestly, you're too old to wear your hair like that." Or whatever other criticism. But I heard her on this visit. And it seems to be a familial gift. My brothers are critical too. So I almost missed the love sitting right next to it. And here's the teaching in it. Our brains, as part of us, is wired to hold on to that criticism far tighter than we do with praise. We hold on to the things that people say to us about us that are negative, rather than the kindness, rather than the compliments. And you know, it has a name. It's called negativity bias. And one critical moment can outweigh 10 kind ones in your memory. Excuse me. And I remember when I began to channel, and my guides would tell me if I said something negative to myself, I needed to say something positive and kind to myself 10 times, 10 times, count them, to cover up or overwrite the negativity bias. And so if you grew up with a critical parent, that bias gets carved deeper and deeper and deeper, like grooves on an old record. Remember those before the CDs, before the eight track tapes or the tape decks? Praise just slides off you like water off a duck's back, and criticism sticks like glue. So when love finally does come, even when it's real, true, freely given, if your nervous system doesn't know what to do with it, it doesn't feel safe. It feels unfamiliar. And some of you have had someone tell you that they loved you, thought you were beautiful, amazing, and you flinched, or maybe deflected, or thought, yeah, but I'm imperfect. Similar to the way you deflect compliments, and I've talked about this before. That's not you being ungrateful. If someone gives you a compliment and you go, "Well, this old thing," you're not open to receive, and we need to be open to receive to be abundant, to be prosperous. It's part of the abundance concept, wealthy. Love and money, they operate at the same exact frequency. So if you don't love you, guess what? You're going to struggle with money. You're going to struggle with debt, and you're going to struggle receiving love and compliments. So that's a nervous system that was never given the practice of receiving. So do you have blocks to receiving? It's one of the things I help my women clear. So the work isn't just hearing love, it's letting it land. Sitting in it long enough for your body to start to believe it's allowed to trust it. We have to trust ourselves to be able to receive it and to trust what we're being given. We're going to go deeper into what trust means. Just hang on and buckle up your seatbelt. So tonight's exercise, think of one person whose good opinion of you never let land. Text them tonight and ask them to tell you in their own words, why do you love me? And let it sink in. Let it in. So there's another aspect that I want to share with you. So before traveling to Toronto, this is it. Listen to this. My mother told me she'd fallen and broken her shoulder. So I called the executor, my brother that's the executor, and I told him, oh, yeah, she said she had fallen, but she hasn't. The nurse checked her out. Nothing's broken. She's fine. It's all in her mind. And I called my other brother. He said the same thing. They both figured it was dementia talking. So when I got there, I'm the only daughter. She told me how different my relationship was with her. All that criticism, all that 71 years of being jealous of me, critical of me. Let her love me in the way she could. But I want to tell you this, I could tell by the way she groaned, moving her shoulder. My mother is not a chicken. My mother's a tough cookie. She didn't get to be 104 by being a wimp. When she moved her shoulder, she groaned. I knew she broke it. It was much greater than being bruised. I knew it was broken. I didn't doubt her for a second. But you know what? Kept my mouth shut. I never called my brother to say, hey, mom's really complaining about this pain, dude. I didn't. I witnessed how difficult it was for her to move. I witnessed her groaning in the shower because I was right there. And when I returned home from Toronto, my brother calls me up to tell me the doctor just looked at mom's x-ray and she has a broken scapula. Yeah, her shoulder was broken. My mother was far more with it than my brothers gave her credit for. How often are we not heard? How often do you say something to someone and they dismiss you? Oh, come on. Come on, Jennifer. Come on, Becky. That's not true. You're just complaining. You're just being negative. So here's what I want you to notice. My brothers weren't lying. They genuinely believed what they were telling themselves. And that's what happens when we override our own perception or someone else's long enough. We stop trusting the evidence right in front of us and start trusting the story that's easier to believe. That is the same mechanism as gaslighting. Are you gaslighting yourself? Excuse me. Whether anyone intends to or not, someone tells you enough times and eventually you doubt what you saw, what you felt, what you knew. I trusted what I saw with my mom because I'd spent years rebuilding that muscle, trusting myself, even when it's inconvenient. Even when other people disagree, I'm also learning to stop trying to convince anyone. I just wait, and they eventually will learn the truth for themselves. I stop wasting my energy. And that is the same intuition my mother named in me on that recording. I trusted it even under pressure. And so tonight's give, next time your gut tells you something is true and everyone else tells you you're wrong, don't argue. Write it down. Just check back in a week. I cannot tell you the number of things that have come through in the last week for me intuitively that have come true. And that is how you rebuild trust in yourself. If you don't trust yourself, you won't trust your eyes. If you don't trust yourself, you will not trust your gut. And I'm going to tell you, women, your body never freaking lies. If you get a gut hit that somebody is a cheater, he's a freaking cheater. If you get a hit, somebody's a narcissist, they're a freaking narcissist. Trust yourself. Stop discounting your gut. And if you don't trust your gut, you won't trust your intuition. You won't hear the voice of God, the angels, your guides. That is how life becomes easier when you have a quiet mind, which I help you do. You trust the guidance you receive, and you know it's absolutely correct. I've built it over time. It is one of those things I help my clients do. And the more you trust yourself, the more self-reliant you become, and the more independent you become. Self-trust makes life easier, not more difficult. Self-trust allows you to feel more confident and self-assured. It makes life easier. It helps you make better decisions instead of having to ask all your friends and then do whatever you want anyway. It helps you to take up more space. Stop being so afraid to speak up and say what's in your heart. You start keeping small promises with yourself. You listen to your body's signals, hunger, tension. Oh, I have to pee. You know, that one, the one you keep suppressing, and you go all day like a camel. You're not a camel. Stay present through discomfort instead of abandoning yourself. Own your decisions, even the imperfect ones. Honor your limits without over-explaining. Let mistakes be information. I've made a few of those. Not proof you can't be trusted. Match your actions to what you actually believe. And why does this matter? Self-trust is the foundation of everything else stands on. You can't trust anyone or anything until you trust you first. And that's what self-trust ultimately prepares you for. Not just the choices you make, but the way you'll meet the moments you can't choose. And what are those? There is nothing that puts that to the test like living and dying. And that makes me think about a woman named Joan Kemper, who lived in Ojai. I had the pleasure to know and meet multiple times. She gave so much to our town, our little town, the arts, the land, the hospital, the community, for decades. She wasn't critical. She was kind, sweet, accepting. And she used to say something her father told her: when you get old, don't quit working. You rust when you sit around, and then you'll never move again. So she didn't stop. She worked almost till the very end of her life, volunteering at the Art Center in Ojai, giving and giving and giving. And oh my, makes me emotional. And when it was her time, At 103, she died peacefully in her sleep, the way we all want to go, people. At home, surrounded by the people who loved her. My mother, on the flip side, is having a very different death. She's was fiercely critical, unkind, cruel, and even jealous most of her life until about 6 months ago at 103 and three quarters. Now she is struggling to die. Falling, breaking bones. Just recently, a face plant that broke her nose and left her with a black eye. She swears the nurse did it to her. She's afraid. She's holding on for dear life, though she'd never say it that way. She could just never let go, and I don't think that's a coincidence. I think we die the way we lived. Death is inevitable. Living, however, is something we choose. And how we live our life when we do not fear death, I no longer fear death. We live full out. We're not afraid of dying. So here's the teaching. The emotions we don't process in life don't just disappear. You can't put them on ignore and expect them to go away. They won't do that. It's kind of like dandruff, you know? It's still there. They tend to show up at the end, amplified. Peace at the end of life is rarely an accident. It's usually the result of a person who spent years doing the work, the shadow work, looking at themselves with acceptance and love, forgiving, letting go. Oh, and don't forget the compassion. Forgiving, letting go, telling the truth, and choosing themselves over and over again. Restless at the end is often the same pattern that ran their whole life. Just out of time to fix it. I know this because I lived it from the other direction. I married man after man who abused me, not once, not twice. And I'm living to smile about it and laugh about it and write about it. It was a pattern. The same wound, wearing a different face each time, and for years I could not see why. I couldn't even feel it. I had a chip on my shoulder I didn't know was there. Something old, something that had been carved into me long before any of those men. And I kept walking straight into it over and over, thinking it was love. Remember what I said to you about if it feels like home and home wasn't safe, run in the other direction. I kept running towards home and it wasn't safe. And it wasn't until I finally turned around and gave that love to me first, loving and accepting myself fearlessly. Even the parts, especially the parts that were pretty ugly to look at. I had a bunch of those. They didn't smell so good. And that was when the pattern broke. And so I became an expert at this. And not because the next man was different, because I was different. That's the work, women. It's not fixing your circumstances. It's not moving to another country or buying another house or another car, another wardrobe. It's fixing the thing in you that keeps choosing the same circumstance. And I'm not saying that to scare you. It's meant to hand you the one thing that you get to control. Not the ending, but today, from this moment forward, you get to choose the way you live your life. Tonight's gift. You don't get to choose how you die. You do get to choose one thing today. Send the text. Say you're sorry. Tell the truth. Forgive the person. Even if it's only in your head, even if it's just the Ho'oponopono. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. Start this prayer with yourself. Do it over and over again for everyone. Forgive them all. Pick one before bed tonight. I had a lot of people do a lot of bad stuff to me, and I don't hold hatred to for anyone, for any of them. And I'm talking bad stuff, people. Almost 72. No gray hair. Going to see my hairdresser tomorrow. You see this? It's because I did not hold on to the hatred. I forgave. I don't live in despair. I let it go. I'm not like my Orgasm for Life book says. Get that one. It's on Audible. Hanging on to the windowsill of life will not get you to the big O, and it sure won't get you to happiness. Choose you. You are so worth it. So pick one before bed tonight. Take a nice deep breath. Breathe in deeply and breathe out deeply. Let it go. Let it go. You're worth loving. You are so worth loving. And you are the reason I created unbecoming. Unbecoming, shedding all that isn't you. You're not the hatred. You're not the low self-esteem. You're not the ugly. You're not the heaviness. That's not who you are. So if something you heard today resonated, that is your nervous system recognizing truth. And here's what to do with it. Pull out your phone right now. Out your phone. And go to your browser and type in unbecoming, UNBECOMING dot JenniferElizabethMasters.com. That's my app. It has 71 years of life experience in it, healing, overcoming fibromyalgia, Epstein-Barr, autoimmune disease, sadness, sorrow, anger, allowing you to forgive, get grounded in your body, and love you fearlessly the way you're meant to be. So if you add this to your home screen, now it's right there on your phone, like any other app, ready whenever you need it. And I've got something for you, a big secret to share. I haven't talked about this openly. So next time on SOS for the Soul Coming Home, you do not want to miss my next episode. I am telling you about the man I married who was hiding three things at once. I call him my trifecta. Oh, yeah. You would not believe how I didn't see it coming, although there was a warning, or two or three or five or 10 that I ignored, and I went headlong for him anyway. I hope you will join me next time on SOS for the Soul. And in the meantime, get the app. Start for free. Unbecoming. jenniferelizabethmasters.com. And if you can't remember it, go to my website, jenniferelizabethmasters.com. There's a little pop-up there. Click it. It's right there too. I'm so glad you were here with me today. I hope you enjoyed this show. I'd love to hear from you. And much love. Until next time we meet again. Have a great night.
Coming home. Have to disappear.